Joining us now from Sports Info Solutions, MLB trade deadline day, Mark Simon gives us the latest on the four players the Brewers just acquired in Jake Faria, Jordan Lyles, Drew Pomeranz, and Ray Black. Mark, I'll start with this. There's a distinct difference in the numbers of what Drew Pomeranz has been able to do in the bullpen in comparison to what he was doing as a starting pitcher this year. He will be the one joining the Brewers at the major league level.
Yeah, thank you for asking me about that one first, because that's the one I know the most about. If you watched in the last three or four games, it was a different pitcher than the guy that had been in the starting rotation. I was actually at the Giant-Philly game last night, and they talked about it extensively on the Giant broadcast, how much better he looked, that he was throwing harder, that the knuckle curve looked better. He was like 2 miles an hour better on his fastball, so he was at like 94 instead of 91, 92. He seems to, I guess, make a fit as a left-handed reliever. I guess that's the thing to get somewhat excited about today.
It's difficult because you see major league talent leave for major league talent, or in this case, major league talent who was an all-star last year in Jesus Aguilar, for a guy that's going to go to the minor leagues in Jake Faria. But it appears that the Brewers are also getting a guy that can start and relief.
Yeah, I kind of didn't really get that trade. That was a weird one to me. His numbers are not particularly impressive in terms of, in the bullpen they've been better in terms of strikeouts per nine, but as a starter he's not going to strike out a lot of guys. He doesn't throw all that hard. He gave up a guy that was finally starting to hit the ball hard. I guess it fills a need because you're looking for depth in pitching, right? I guess, yeah, especially given the way that like Davies has pitched recently and the struggles, some of the things that you've had, I would have thought that wouldn't necessarily have been a guy that you'd be going for. I thought you might have been aiming higher.
Of Aguilar, Travis Shaw, and Eric Thames, yesterday we said on the big show that there's no way all three of them are still here, and they chose to trade the righty and keep the two left-handed first basemen, which I'm guessing means Ryan Braun will end up at first base. But if you were going to trade one of those three guys between Aguilar, Thames, and Shaw, would it have been Aguilar? Because, again, look, I mean, Aguilar's under team control. Shaw's under team control. And Thames is available to go to another team after this season. So two have team control, and the other one didn't.
Yeah, I guess I would have traded Aguilar. I just sort of thought that I might have gotten, like, a major league-ready kind of guy. Like, I might have gotten like a better version of like a Pomeranz kind of thing for a first baseman who hit 35 last year and is probably going to go to Tampa, and it's indoors there and there's nobody there and he can relax, and he'll probably hit a whole bunch of bombs there, and he gets right in the thick of the wild card race in the AL, which is kind of a neat place to be in the AL East. He's got some good ballparks to take target at. Mm-hmm. I guess that's who I would have dealt. I just was a little underwhelmed, I guess, by the return.
Yeah, look, I think when you look at Dubon, a lot of people here thought that within the organization that he might have been heir apparent to Arcia, but it just didn't work out that way. How do you foresee that trade? Was that a good trade for the Brewers, or they should have done better?
Ask me on October 1st, because to me that one is like, if you made the playoffs, it's probably a good trade.
Okay.
Because your goal here is short term. Your goal is to make the postseason, and I guess they saw a gap with their beyond hater with the left-handed relievers. And I don't think you can worry too much about what this guy's going to do. The Giants have a fairly crowded infield with Panic and Crawford, and they just traded for Scooter Jeanette for some reason. So I don't know where this guy is going to play. He's 25. Like, if he was 21, I would be saying to myself, why did you give up a 21-year-old prospect for a middle reliever type for half a season potentially? But I don't think there's as much risk to between like what Hira is and what this guy seems to be, at least at this point.
How do you measure that? How do you measure when teams go and make trades? How do you measure, I guess, whether you got the better deal, or how do certain teams in value guys they have like in their minor league system versus guys that they trade for that can come in and play right now?
So it's funny. If you go back through baseball history a little bit, and there are some interesting trades, and one of the more famous ones to me was in the 80s, John Smoltz, was on the Tigers, and he got traded to the Braves for Doyle Alexander, who was, this guy was like 35, and who was kind of at the very end of his career. And the Tigers got Alexander, the Braves got Smoltz. Smoltz became a Hall of Famer, but I still felt like that trade was a good trade for the Tigers because Alexander went 9-0 for them. They won the division by like two games. He got them to the playoffs. I think if Pomeranz does something that gets you to the playoffs, I think that's the area, that's where you would say that you've won this trade. If Dubon goes on to be a five-time All-Star, well, shoot. But I don't know that you necessarily have that risk to worry about here. I would worry about that more if he was the number one or the number two prospect on the team. How do you measure it? I think you measure it by what you got out of it. How do you measure it in the NFL?
Yeah, just wins and losses,
right?
And wins and losses is what the Milwaukee Brewers are trying to get out of Drew Pomeranz here in the next couple of months as they push towards the MLB playoffs. Talking with Mark Simon of Sports Info Solutions here, Great Midwest Bank Hotline on the Wendy's Big Show.
Mark, I really like having you on because I want to ask you about this Jordan Lyle. Now, the Brewers have said they can fix him. Whatever's wrong with him, we see some things we can fix him. First of all, do you believe in that? Maybe another different scenery that can really help a guy if he's a different pitching coach, different teammates, he can just flip the switch and become a pretty effective pitcher?
Yeah, I think so. That happens. I would say if you look at the sport over a season, that probably happens with 30, 40 guys. And that's estimating. But in the course of a season, if they saw something that they really liked and their staff thinks that, oh, he should be like with the Astros, they'll like dig through and they'll pick the guy's best pitch and they'll say, oh, you're throwing it 10% of the time? Well, shoot, you should be throwing it 40% of the time.
Oh, okay.
And I would guess that the Brewers are going to look and say, what is this guy's best pitch? And they're going to either tell him they're going to try and maximize whatever it is that he does best rather than deal with like his weaknesses. Because I guess the strategy is like you're an established product at this point. He's like 9 years into his career. You're not going to make him into something that he's not. So take the thing that he does best and just have him do it over and over and over and over again and hope for the best result.
Yeah, I always wonder that because he's going to start tonight and the Brewers really need a win to stay within, you know, try to stay within the Cubs and the Cardinals. But how do you measure the defense now? Because, you know, a lot of these guys hadn't played with him. So as far as catching him, pitch framing, do you play the center field? Do you play more the shift on left-handers? Have they done all their homework with this? Or this happens in Major League Baseball a lot?
Yeah, I'm sure. The way that things seem to work now is like every pitcher, the team has like a card that they give their fielders for each pitcher on the team. And when a new pitcher comes in the game or a new pitcher starts, they give you a new card. And that card tells you everywhere to go for each guy.
And you know that, Billy?
Jordan Lyle's card is going to be different from Zach Davies' card. And they're going to be different from Hader's card. It's gotten like baseball in the last 4, 5, 10 years has gotten really advanced in terms of positioning guys. Like now, think about it. When you watch a game now and a ball's hit up the middle, there's always someone there. Like,
it's like a 75%
hit. And now it's a 50-50. Now it's a 50-50 shot. It's like the defense is waiting for you. The teams have their hitters really well scouted. Teams have opposing hitters really well scouted out.
I was at the game over the weekend, Mark, and saw when Anthony Rizzo was up at the dish, the Brewers had four guys out in right field when you count the second baseman, first baseman, all in the outfield grass. It's harder than ever to get base hits in baseball. We appreciate the lowdown on the newest Brewers, Mark. We'll talk next week.
Yep.
Mark Simon of Sports Info Solutions joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019. Look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today, Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935.